I promise you no one will open your presents for you. Didn't get a reaction from that. Thankful for the worship team today. Wonderful worship. And again, we're still making some adjustments to this camera right here. Just a couple quick announcements, especially for those online. I've already spoken to those here, but for those online especially, we will have a Christmas Eve service this Friday at 7 p.m., there'll be no Wednesday evening adult Bible study, though there will be youth group this week. I also want to make mention for those who not only watch on Facebook, but also listen online, that we're still working on getting all our audio recordings up from the last several weeks. So please bear with us. And we're recording today, so that probably will be up before the last few weeks. But please bear with us as we are getting those recordings put together. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Good. You enjoying the snow?
Happy to be at church.
Amen. Amen. I am so grateful that the snow didn't come until now. I might be among the only ones here, but I know my wife is listening online, and she is rejoiced that snow has finally arrived. I think this was the perfect timing. We got through most of December without it. So I say praise God for that.
Amen.
And let's begin with a short story today, shall we? As you might have guessed, we're talking about Easter today. Come on, guys, you got to work with me today. You got to work with me. We're talking about Christmas today, and I'm reminded of when Sean and Alexandra were staying at their grandparents' house just a few weeks before Christmas, and they were tucked into their beds in the spare room right next to the grandparents' bedroom. And after everyone was heading to bed, Sean said to his sister, "We should pray about what we want for Christmas." "I guess," she said, "but I'm not sure a Christmas present is the kind of thing we should pray for." "Oh, it's fine," said Sean. And as loudly as he could, he began to pray, "God, I want a blue 24-speed bike like the one that's on Amazon, that's on sale right now. Amen." "Sean," said Alexandra, "I'm pretty sure God can hear you. There's no need to yell. He isn't deaf." "I know," he said, "but Grandma's a little hard of hearing." That is not a true story. Sorry, Mom. On to real matters today. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word from Isaiah chapter 7 and then Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be reading three verses between those two chapters. So Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Hopping over two chapters to chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it begins, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The word of the Lord today. You may be seated. And Father God, as we talk about your word today, help us to understand it and to grow in your grace. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. "Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Amen? Imagine you lived all those years ago when these promises were given. And you're waiting for over 500 years as these promises pass from one generation to the next. Waiting, hoping, anticipating for this Emmanuel, this God with us, this Messiah. And at the same time, what's going on around you is economically and politically and in every way, it's devastating. Instead of your nation growing and thriving and becoming a nation under this mighty king, your nation is followed by one bad ruler after another bad ruler. Or if not your own rulers, you've been oppressed by invading empires. Hope would be difficult, maybe even elusive. I think most of us would need a miracle to rouse us, to excite us, to give us that hope again. And that's exactly what God promised, that he would send Emmanuel, that God would not stand back. In fact, God never stands back, but that God would enter in. He would not let the world continue in the same way any longer, that Emmanuel would break through the darkness. He would be born of a virgin, of the family of David, and be that wonderful counselor, be that mighty God, be that everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And so finally, the prophecy was fulfilled on Christmas in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And just like that, a miracle broke through. A miracle took place on that first miracle of Christmas, the Immaculate Conception. Without the aid of a human man, and without his sin nature infecting the child, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, outside of the natural processes, the child was conceived. Now, as much as skeptics might want you to believe that people back then were backwards, didn't know how things worked, they were not backwards. They knew how babies came about. And so when this miracle took place, Joseph, a righteous man, we're told, he believed the worst, as anyone would, until a second miracle took place. God doesn't simply do one miracle and then leave us to ourselves. A second miracle took place. Look at verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, again, some translations say a righteous man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. An angel was sent to Joseph to set him straight about Mary, and about Mary's faithfulness to both Joseph and to God. And the angel gave him this instruction. Verse 21, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. This is where we opened up this morning, the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. And that is the second miracle of the angel's appearance The angel revealed who this baby is and why this baby was about to be born. That all the hopes, all the patience, 500 years of patience, you think you are waiting a long time for something. All the desires of the nation and of the universe were building up to this very child. That salvation and redemption was to come through this baby, whose very name means the Lord saves. The Lord is our salvation. Joseph, who could barely comprehend all of this, and we to this very day could only understand a small fraction of what happened, of God being born into human flesh, but he believed. He believed that the incarnation, the embodiment of God, was this unborn child who was going to save us. And at that moment, two more miracles were realized. The first is the incarnation, of course. But the second was the grace of God being given to sinners, as well as the grace God had on poor Joseph, who could hardly comprehend. And then he obeyed by faith with a little angelic prodding. The Gospel of Luke records more miracles of angels and shepherds, but Matthew chapter 2 takes us ahead in time, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. And we learn that the night of Jesus' birth, a star appeared in the east. It's the star we tend to adorn on the top of our Christmas trees as a symbol of this star. It begins in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east and came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. In assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Verse 7. "And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." The star led these wise men, these magi, far from their home. They knew the Old Testament prophecies, and discerning the timing of the coming king by them. And when they found the child, they worshiped him. They gave Jesus honor as the king that he was and is. In the final series of miracles, both the wise men and Joseph were warned to flee from the false king Herod, who sought to destroy the baby. And so begins the story of Christmas. A story of miracles. A story of finding hope when all hope had seemed lost. A story of the cosmos confirming the deity of this child. A story that begins a 30-year rescue plan that would lead this infant to the cross and the grave and then to rise again. A story about God's love for this world, that he would turn the universe upside down to save and redeem a lost people. That God entered into our world through the humblest of means to redeem us through Jesus. And for that we say, thank you. And this story continues today. We may live in a world that feels hopeless at times. We may celebrate Christmas routinely and forget what reason we have to hope, to celebrate and believe. But no matter what has occurred, no matter what evil is in this day or is in this world, God is good. Christ has come, and evil and sin and death no longer have hold over anyone who believes and knows why we celebrate Christmas. And I do believe that when we temporarily forget this, God can and often does do something that breaks through the haze to remind us of life and of Christ, especially around Christmas time. So if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is share with you two Christmas stories, two Christmas miracles. They are in no comparison to the incarnation. Let's not even think that for a moment. But these two stories reminded people who were in despair. And we here today, approaching Christmas, remind us that Christ has come. And on that day, peace, hope, and salvation came to this earth. And one day, when Christ returns again, these things will be made complete. I don't know how many of you have heard of the famous poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Anybody? Oh, most of you. There's a picture of him. He sort of looks like another guy we talk about around Christmas right there. He was a man who faced a lot of pain in life. He did not have an easy life, and he also had a life where, if you read what he wrote, he struggled with God. He was a Jacob. He wrestled with God. There were times that he and God seemed to be on opposing teams, and there are times where you can read his writings where he seemed like he was very close, very close. But he was a man that faced much pain. He had lost his first wife when she miscarried in 1835. In 1861, he lost his second wife in a fire. And if that wasn't bad enough, 2 years later, in 1863, during the Civil War, his oldest son, Charles, decided to join the Union as a soldier without his father's blessing, neglecting even to tell his father. Aside from that relational tear, in November of that year, Charles had been severely wounded in the Battle of New Hope Church. That year, about a month later, on Christmas Eve, Longfellow was angry. He was angry about all that he had lost. He was angry with his son. He was angry thinking that he would lose his son. He was in pain. And he wrote in his diary on Christmas Eve, there was no hope on Christmas for him. And he went to bed. But he woke the next morning on Christmas Day, 1863. And Longfellow heard something. Does anybody know what Longfellow heard? He heard the bells. You know where I'm going today, Lynn. He heard the bells on that Christmas day. And something came over him. I would say someone came over him. And he began to pen a new poem. And it begins, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But that something, that someone came over him. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and marks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And like a psalm of old, this man in the depths of pain in that moment, God did something. God reminded him of hope, of Christmas, of Christ. And he finishes the poem. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail. The right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to men." Longfellow struggled his whole life with his faith and belief. But in that moment, he chose. He made a choice to step out in faith and trust God for another miracle on Christmas. In God, I believe, Jesus answered his implicit prayer. Charles would survive. He would be restored to his father, giving hope to the hopeless. Which brings us to our second miracle I'd like to share today. For a few years later, from 1917, during another war, World War I. On Christmas Eve, for the Klinkman family in Parker, South Dakota, there was to be no celebration. They had received word a few days before that their son Archie, the Klinkman's son, was missing in action in Germany, in that area, and command said that he was presumed dead. How hard would it be to celebrate that Christmas without your son, hearing just a few days before that he was probably dead in some trench halfway around the world, and not even having the knowledge, still unsure about all of it, no finality. And so the family didn't want to celebrate Christmas. They even dreaded Christmas coming. Now, Parker, South Dakota is both today and 100 years ago less than half the size of Parsonsfield. So it was a very small town. It had a very nosy mailman. And thank God for very nosy mailmen. It was well known that the small town postmaster read all the postcards when the mail train came into town. And on Christmas Eve, the holiday mail arrived, but it wasn't supposed to go out till after Christmas. But the mailman lived up to his reputation. And after reading through all the postcards, instead of waiting, the postmaster called up to the Klinkman's home, having won from Archie that he was a POW, but he was alive. He was alive. His niece, Kay Johnson, records that after the war, Archie made it home alive and well. It was a small miracle that reminded them of the greater miracle on the very first Christmas. And that little miracle and that reminder turned the worst Christmas into a true remembrance of God's love and mercy upon the lost and upon hurting people. Expressed in that first Christmas in the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas is a celebration of God's love being poured out in a miracle. The miracle of Jesus given to us. The joy and the hope and the peace that this world is not the end. There is a Savior, and He has come for us yesterday, today, and forever to meet us on that first Christmas and on this one, to meet us in the joy as we celebrate and in the times when we hope and pray for a miracle, even today. And today we have our miracle, don't we? We do. If you don't know what I'm talking about, our miracle is probably watching online right now because we almost lost somebody that we all love, that we all care about. Instead of losing him 3 weeks ago, he is home today with his wife and his son and his grandson and celebrating joy this Christmas. Amen? Amen. Is Peter not a miracle today? Amen. And we need to remember, then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen? We're going to celebrate communion in just a moment. We're going to say goodbye to our friends online. Again, I want to remind you, if you want to give, KeyserFallsAssembly.church. And for the rest of us, I'm going to ask Gina to come down. She's going to serve us today. And let's just pray and dismiss those online, and then Gina can get ready. So we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. We want to thank you, Lord, that we have been given this Christmas, this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are not dead, nor do you sleep. That no matter what we are facing, you will prevail. The bells will ring louder. We will have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And especially when you come and all things are made right, we will see an end to all sorrow and pain. And until then, we will celebrate you at Christmas. We will celebrate your coming. We will celebrate the miracle. In Jesus' name we pray.